Good day, friends. It's good to come into your family circle with the glorious gospel. And let's begin our broadcast today with a word of prayer. If you care to join us and can, feel free to do so. Let us pray. Our Father of heaven and earth, we come into thy sanctified presence at this time with glad hearts for the sparing of our lives throughout the past days and now bringing us into another day. We are glad for the impact of thy word that it can have on our life. We're living a life in which we have new experiences every day. And as we well know, Father, the thing that we are least experienced in is living each day. May we know that thou art the true author of life and has promised unto us the opportunity to live here and also the opportunity to live in the world beyond. We're grateful, Father, for the plan of salvation, and we trust as it is sounded forth today on this station that it may go into the hearts of those who are in sin, that it may be received with readiness, even as the parched earth receives the new fallen rain as it comes down gently and penetrates the crust of that earth. We pray, Father, for those who are sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones. And our prayer goes out for our government, governments, whether it be national, whether it be upon a local level, be with those who are in places of authority, and not alone for our country, but for the entire world. And may we be conscious of this fact, that truly thou art God. And even though man many times seems to be strong in his power, yet we find that thou art stronger than what man has to offer. May leaders of nations realize that thou art God, and truly doth rule even yet today in the affairs of men. Help us now as we sound forth the gospel, be with the brethren who make this broadcast possible, and may much good be done for the edifying of thy saints and the strength of thy cause. This is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. On a broadcast today, we're coming to the final question in Bible Questions and Answers. We have asked such questions that have been offered by people and given you Bible answers on the following subjects. What is the church? Salvation, how is it gained? Giving, how much? Is the Lord's Supper essential? Is the kingdom here now? Why elders? Can we keep ourselves free from worldliness? And on the broadcast today, the very promising question and pertinent question, when did the Holy Spirit come? I don't believe it's so difficult to know when that Holy Spirit came as it is to associate its reason for coming, and that has much to do with why it came and what time it did come. So we're going to simply say that we have the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in the second chapter of Acts. Now, the day of Pentecost came each year, you recall, but I understand it was 50 days after the waving of the first sheaf, and if you check your Jewish calendar, you'll find that the year that Jesus died upon the cross, and that when he came forth from the dead, it was upon the first day of the week. The waving of the first sheaf was that same time. And so when you count 7 weeks in one day, you have the day of Pentecost also falling upon the first day of the week. And I'm reading now from this second chapter of Acts in familiar words to many who listen to the broadcast. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues or in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, this was relative to the subject we talked about a few weeks ago, the kingdom. The kingdom was to come with power, and Jesus has said in the first chapter of Acts in a very definite manner that they would receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon them. That's in Acts 1 and 8. So the Holy Spirit came on that day of Pentecost, and I said that the reason for its coming at that time is probably as important and as outstanding as we might say the time that it came. The apostles were told to tarry in the city of Jerusalem after Christ went to heaven. Before he went to heaven, he told them this. He said, "You tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." That's in Luke 24 and 49. They stayed in the city of Jerusalem, and when this day of Pentecost came, the power came down on these men who were from Galilee. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they began to speak in different tongues. Now, the reason they were doing this, as Jesus said, that they were going to be his witnesses after that happened in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. That's again Acts 1 and 8. And they did go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Paul recorded in Colossians 1:23 that the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. One reason that this Holy Spirit, I believe, had to come at Pentecost is that was the time when this new teaching began to be proclaimed, as we've said, first in Jerusalem and then throughout the entire region. You see, when the Holy Spirit came, it brought the complete message to the apostles. And that day of Pentecost when that Spirit came was the beginning of this whole thing. See, back under the law of Moses, people were never told to announce with their mouth that they believed that Christ was the Son of God. But after Jesus came and lived upon this earth and died upon the cross, was buried, rose again and went back to the Father, you remember Jesus had prepared their minds for what they were to do when he sent that Holy Spirit. From the 28th chapter of Matthew in verses 19 and 20 that ends Matthew's biography of Jesus, it simply says that they were to teach all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to teach them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So the Spirit had to come on the day of Pentecost that these men who were not educated in the temple schools, who did not have the know-how of telling people what to do to be saved, they could tell about the life of Jesus, they could tell about how he lived, the miracles he performed, the lessons he taught, the parables he expounded. They could tell about his death, they could tell about his burial, they could tell about his resurrection and even his ascension. But they could not have told one person how this could have been beneficial to them without the coming of the Holy Spirit. You see, they didn't even know what day of the week that the disciples would meet for the Lord's Supper. Jesus told them that he was going to eat with them in his kingdom when he instituted that Lord's Supper the night before he died, the night before his trial and death. We're aware of the fact they wouldn't know that they were to give as they were prospered upon the first day of the week, as the Holy Spirit taught through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. But when that Spirit came, it was to guide them into all truth and righteousness. So Acts 2 and 4 is very interesting and important because they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they begin to speak with other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then if you'll take time to read the accounting in the rest of this second chapter of Acts, you'll find in verse 14 that Peter began a wonderful sermon, and he spoke by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And when the people did cry out and say, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" the Apostle Peter, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that came upon him at Pentecost, was able to tell them in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, if you'll drop down to verse 41, you'll find the response of about 3,000 people. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Well, the Holy Spirit also taught them what to do in worship and in Christian living. For in Acts 2:42, the first thing that is mentioned regarding these new converts is that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You see, the apostles' doctrine was the teaching that the apostles received. Remember, Jesus has said, "Teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." That's back in Matthew 28 and verse 20. So they were able to continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, not because they had a complete copy of the Bible, but because they simply had the teaching of the Holy Spirit. They were also told to continue in breaking of bread, prayers, fellowship. These came at the proper time. The disciples came together upon the first day of the week to break bread. In a religious service, that's when this was to be done. They gave as they were prospered upon the first day of the week. As we told you from the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, they prayed, they exhorted, they sang. But all of this was made possible by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And as you thumb through your New Testament, as we talk to you today, think of this teaching that's found in that New Testament as the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Yes, that glorious gospel of Christ came to this earth from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who sent his edict down here and gave these men something to take forth to the entire world to preach the gospel. Before the gospel was completed, he even gave them power to confirm the word that they spoke. From the 16th chapter of Mark, they were able to perform miracles. These signs that did follow them were truly the confirmation of this marvelous teaching. So the Holy Spirit did come on that first Pentecost after Christ went to heaven. And as Peter spoke of it some time later, he called it the divine power of God. From 2 Peter 1 and 3, he said, "The divine power of God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." So I want to say that when that Holy Spirit came, it gave everything that was ever needed. Men who claim to have the Spirit of God, who claim to have revelations at different time other than when this Holy Spirit came, are really challenging by what they teach and by what they do. May be honest, but they're challenging the Word of God here. This glorious gospel, which is referred to as the faith, in Jude verse 3, was once delivered unto the saints. That's the day that the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles. And we're glad as we look through this Bible that we can trace the beginning of the kingdom, the beginning of the church, at the very time when that Spirit came, and to realize that this Word has given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. If you have questions, send them in. We're thankful for this broadcast and this series for those who have made it possible. Be in the house of the Lord and be with us next time as we'll deal with another scriptural topic from the Word of God, which is His power unto your salvation and my salvation.